episode 157 of the Bronx Beat Podcast, presented by Baseball Prospectus' BP Bronx. I am your host, EJ Fagan, and tonight I am joined by Scott Moss.
Hey, guys.
And I'm also joined by Devin Foster.
Hey, guys.
All right, so we're back. The Yankees won a bunch of games. They're now losing to the White Sox for the second game in a row. All is mostly good in the world. The Yankees have a 100% playoff odds right now on FanGraphs. And so we got some nitpicking to talk about today. Are you guys excited to nitpick?
Oh, yeah.
You got to complain as long as they're not in first place. That's the nature of being a Yankee fan.
Yeah, it's crazy. It feels like the Yankees are disappointing, and they're on pace for like 104 wins right now. So we're going to talk about that really quickly. But first, we're going to get to the first nitpick, which I think is an interesting debate. And I'm going to let Devin actually take this debate away because it was his idea. So, Devin, what are we discussing?
So I want to talk about basically what are we going to do at first base going forward. We originally didn't think that Luke Voit was really anyone of interest, but he played pretty well, and seems like he's the hot hand right now for the Yankees, maybe a little bit. And Bird's been struggling, but I think that he was kind of the long-term solution for a long time. We liked him. But we also have the, Neil Walker option too, but we have people hurt in the outfield and at, second base, and so we've been playing them different spots. So I was just curious what we thought about who was the best person going forward.
And I want to define going forward at the moment as playoffs and September. So just for the remainder of the season, these are the options the Yankees have. Let's assume they don't trade for anybody. Who do you go for? So, Scott, what would be your lineup? Like, who would get most of the first base playing time, and how would you distribute that playing time?
Yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, I wouldn't argue too hard with people saying give Voit a shot. But, because he's looked good, and it doesn't seem like it's batted ball luck. I mean, anything could be luck in 50 at-bats, but his ex-wob was through the roof. But more broadly, I mean, yes, he's old, so you're tempted to say he's one of those guys that didn't make it. But if you look back, he got a late start, and then he did really well at Double-A, then really well at Triple-A, and the majors between a little last year and this year. He's been about a league average hitter, even if you average out the rough start last year with the overperforming this year. So it's not like he's a career minor leaguer who got called up at 27 after 3 years of AAA, and then he overperforms because he's been feasting on bad pitching and he's sort of too old for his level. I mean, this is a guy who's actually just been moving along at normal speed after the low minor, so I kind of am a believer that he might be a decent hitter. The catch is that every indication previously is that Greg Bird is a good major league player, and I still believe in him. He's still shown the power. He's just not making contact, but it's weird because his strikeout rate didn't go through the roof. It's just that it seemed like there's a mix of, the isolated power is pretty good. It's just that the contact isn't there. So it's just been feast or famine with him. So he's been your standard low average power hitter. I think this is his floor, and he's, has more in the tank. So I don't mind him giving some games against tough lefties to Voit, less because I don't think it's that Greg Bird can't hit lefties. He's been a low platoon split kind of guy. It'd sort of be an easier call if Greg Bird were doing badly but had a big platoon split. But I think that, look, if Bird is a little below average or probably has more going forward, exploit the fact that Voit is probably an average hitter at the major league level who'd be genuinely good against lefties. That's my guess.
So, Devin, how are you dividing that playing time? Answer your own question.
So basically, I'm kind of on the Voit train where Bird's really been not good recently, and it's kind of frustrating. And he is usually getting hurt, so maybe giving him some rest now and then, give him his playing time when, against righties and stuff. And then maybe go in the postseason he gets hot again like he did last year, and that's, would be great. But I think that he kind of needs a kick in the butt, and I think playing Voit more often than not it might be what does it. I think there was an interview a couple weeks ago where he said that he popped out to lose the game, and he said that he's just happy to be here after all the injuries and stuff. And I didn't really beat him up too much for that, but I think if that's the attitude he is, that he's just kind of happy to be here, maybe if someone's taking his spot and then challenging him for first base, then he'll start to pick it up a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm kind of with Devin. I want to give the bulk of the playing time to Voit at this point for a couple of reasons. The first is that he's performed, and he has performed recently and has looked good at the plate, both at AAA and at the majors. So this year at AAA, it's kind of hard to combine his numbers, but he's got a 301, 390, 506 batting line. So really good. You know, some of that's in the Pacific Coast Leagues. So you can deflate some of that. But he was really good with the Yankees in a limited time at Scranton Wilkes-Barre. He also has not extreme platoon splits for his career, but he does hit lefties better than he hits righties, and so you can kind of leverage that situation a little bit right there. But the other thing is that I think there's some information you gain by playing Voit. I mentioned at the top of the podcast that we have 100% playoff odds at the moment, 100%, right? So, you know, you're probably not going to win the division. I think after tonight, some of the Yankees hold on to lose. We're recording right now. They're losing 4-2 against the White Sox at the moment. They're probably going to end up with about a 10% probability of winning the division, which is better than a week ago, but still pretty low, which means that for the next month, really the most valuable thing you can do besides get everybody healthy and effective is information, is figure out who your better players are going to be. And I'm just not going to believe that Greg Bird is going to be a valuable contributor for the playoffs if he has like a hot week next week. And maybe I shouldn't believe Luke Voit would also be a valuable contributor if he's going to be have a hot week. But I've lost faith in Greg Bird at this point. And maybe if Luke Voit just is terrible for the next 2 weeks and rules himself out, maybe you go back to Bird. But at this point, I think it's just time to give another guy a chance and just see what you have.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's that's what I'm thinking.
All right, so none of us want to talk about Neil Walker, and that's fine. He's best untalked about. We're going to move on to talk about the 40-man roster, or more specifically, September call-ups. I have some thoughts about September call-ups this year, as I tend to do. It's a much more interesting list than it was in previous years, in part because the Yankees traded tons and tons of guys out of the high minors, and so it's not as crowded as it's been in previous years. As far as I can tell, these are the players on the 40-man roster who have a chance at a September call-up, in no particular order. Domingo Acevedo, Tyler Wade, Ryan Bollinger, Domingo Herman, Chance Adams, Luis Sessa, Jonathan Loaisiga, Clint Frazier, and we'll just throw in Gary Sanchez right there. Of these players, Devin, who are you most excited about? Who jumps out as somebody here who you think the Yankees are going to call up on day one of September 1st, and are going to actually use him significantly throughout the month?
I think... Well, Clint Frazier is someone who's hurt, and I would be excited to see him get some playing time. But again, I mean, he got the concussion thing, and we would have saw him in the outfield if he was healthy. But the person that I'm looking at would be Tyler Wade. He's got a lot of speed. I think he's played a little bit early on in the season, but I think they'll actually use him, especially because we have infield people hurt right now. But his speed would be a good pinch running situation, and like I say, he's kind of versatile in the infield.
Scott, who are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Quinton Berry. This is not going to be a make or break the playoffs. They've done this more years than not recently, but he's a journeyman. He's 33 years old, and he has apparently no skills in life other than being really fast. Did you even see the signing report the other day?
Sorry, I'm looking at stats right now. Yes, continue.
Okay, for his career... In the majors, he isn't a good hitter, and he has no power. He has a 600 OPS at the minors and the majors alike, but in the majors, he has 29 steals, and he's been caught twice. And in the minors, it's roughly 400 steals, 100 caught. So he's somewhere between an 80-90% base stealer, and despite being age 33, man, this year in the minors, he hasn't played a lot, but he has 10 steals caught once. Clearly what they're going for, and I think this is something that really is an underrated thing in the playoffs, where you can short the bullpen and have some more bench players, is he's your pinch runner. I mean, he should play once a game as a pinch runner, and there is actually real value in, Gary Sanchez on second and the eighth, and he shouldn't be on the base. This guy should be on the base. I was musing that maybe see if there's a low ball trade for Billy Hamilton that would work, but hey, this is basically Billy Hamilton. He can hit, but he runs like a burner. What I don't know, and it's hard to tell from minor league stats, is how good a fielder he is as a defensive replacement. He's fast, so you suspect he'd be good, and his range numbers in center field look amazing. So maybe there's value in that too. So I think there's just a sleeper sort of thing that has limited value, but I think it's such a smart move to get a guy who's just a burner and defensive replacement potentially for the playoffs, because you don't need eight relievers in the playoffs with all the off days. So yeah, use this guy, and he should be pinch running once a game.
Yeah, his stats are truly terrible. This is I'm just looking at his minor league stats right now, and I had never heard of him until I guessed the spelling of his name correctly and Googled him. The Yankees signed him, looks like, yesterday. Devin, what do you think about this signing? Do you think he's going to see a lot of pinch running opportunities?
Well, I mean, it's funny that we both kind of picked people for the same reason. I'd like to see Tyler Wade and him in a foot race, but that's exactly what I was talking about, is having that pinch runner, and I'm not sure what positions this guy plays, but I think that I'd be excited to see him play for sure.
Okay, so I'm gonna be the other person right here and say that I'm really excited to see Chance Adams as a relief pitcher with these September call-ups. I think we can probably at this point stick a fork in Chance Adams as a major league starting pitcher, or at least a good major league starting pitcher. And the Yankees have started kind of playing with this idea that he might be a relief pitcher. He was going to be converted to that role until the Yankees kind of needed him to start in July. I think he's good. I think he's got good stuff. He's got the potential to be a really good relief pitcher, and it's just finally time for them to bite the bullet and say, starting pitcher has failed. Let's call him up. Let's give him one inning appearances and let him just burn it. And the Yankee bullpen could use the help right now. Again, I think it's the right time to rest guys, to not play guys. And I think Chance Adams, giving Chance Adams some medium leverage innings, one inning appearances, tell him to go out there and throw as hard as he can. I think that is that could be very, very interesting and could actually turn out. You could actually find yourself with a real playoff weapon at that point if it succeeds. But let's move on to players who are not on the 40-man roster. So as far as I can tell, there are three players. One of them is more exciting than the other two. One is more exciting than the other – is less exciting than the other two. So we're going to start with him. So, Scott, I want to know, what are your thoughts on the Yankees – clearing up a 40-man roster spot and adding Ryan McBroom to the roster?
Yes, you've been Ryan McBroom's number one fan for some time now. I'm not a fan, given that, it feels like Jack Voigt has his job, basically. So I picture Ryan McBroom, he's a righty, he's a first baseman, he's old for his level of the minor leagues. Basically, Jack Voigt. I'm thinking of John Voigt, actor from Mission Impossible. But, okay, Luke Voigt. Okay, his name is Luke Voigt. He basically seems like he's exactly like Luke Voigt, but not as good. It's like the trope in any superhero movie where, the cyborg shows up who's a good guy, but then the more powerful cyborg shows up in the last 10 minutes or something. I feel like Luke Voigt is the 26-year-old career minor leaguer who probably has enough to be a serviceable major league role player. But then Luke Voigt's like the better version of him, a righty first baseman. So I don't know if there's any room for him anymore unless I'm missing some role, you see.
Yeah, no. He's the only player actually decent at AAA at the moment who's really on the list, the position player. So let's talk about somebody who's actually good. Let's talk about Justus Sheffield. So, Devin, do the Yankees seem to have a plan with Justus Sheffield, and is it a good plan?
I mean, the plan seems to be that I think that he's having relief pitching roles where he's at right now.
And he's pitched his last three appearances out of relief.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think that's what they're going to use him for, not long term, but just, for the rest of the season, I suppose. And if he earns his spot, then, I mean, that's great for the postseason. But, I as a fan, I'm certainly excited to see him pitch, even if it's just one inning at a time.
What are your expectations for him?
I want to have low expectations, but unfortunately I think they're going to be a little bit higher than they should be. I mean, the expectation is, an inning at a time. I don't need him to go more than that, and just really to see his stuff and to see if he's really, all that hype. And I'd like to see him pitch pretty well, of course.
Yeah, I think that Justus Sheffield is interesting only because he's a lefty. That I think the Yankee, he's probably like he's not a long term relief pitcher. He's near his innings limit, and so they want him to confirm to the bullpen. And they think that he could help out as kind of a lefty situational guy. It'd be fun to see him become that guy for the playoffs and kind of get some major league experience. But I don't think we're getting. I'm not like holding my breath for like a Justus Sheffield like amazing run out of the bullpen. I think his control problems are still there. I'm still skeptical that he can be an effective major league player and especially effective major league relief pitcher until he solves those control problems. Maybe they'll get better out of the bullpen. I'm not holding my breath for the moment. I want to talk about a player that I think will get called up, that I think deserves to be called up and can be really good. His name is Raynel Espinal. He's a player that you might not recognize. You might not know about. But Raynel Espinal was the breakout relief pitcher of the Yankee system in 2017. He was 25 years old. So he was like a Mexican League signing, if I remember correctly, or a much older international free agent that they brought in. I think he had Tommy John surgery in 2015. And he pitched 74 innings with a 1.09 ERA, struck out 11 per 9, walked 2 per 9, which was really, really good, right? And this season, he has spent the entire season at AAA, and he's been pretty good. He's striking at batters like crazy, 12.5 strikeouts per 9. He's walking guys more than he did in the low minors, 3.6 per 9. He's got a 3.2 ERA, which is good but not great. So he's been a good relief pitcher at AAA, probably deserves a major league spot, and importantly, is Rule 5 eligible next year. I think he gets added to the 40-man roster. I think he becomes kind of like the Jonathan Holder of this year, where the Yankees are going to give him some shots, see how he does, and probably he rides the train between AAA and the majors next year, but he's got lots of potential, so maybe he just sticks if he ends up being pretty good. Any further opinions on Raynel Espinal? I have no idea what he throws, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at it, the only thing that jumps out to me, like you said, he has a 3.2 ERA this year at AAA. He's 7-2, which doesn't necessarily mean much, but his past two starts, he's pitched scoreless innings. But in AA, his ERA was 0.46, only in 9 games, but, you know, that's impressive. But he got moved up quick, I guess, after that.
All right, Scott, big picture thoughts on the September call-ups. I have a big picture thought, but I want to give you guys a chance to make the big picture thought before I bring it all together. So, Scott, like, what's your impression of this group that we talked about?
It's hard to say. So my big picture thought is that you always dream that you're going to find some guy who's going to kill it in the September call-up and be the next superstar. That's few and far between, and I'm not seeing that in this group. The most you could hope, if you want to close your eyes and squint and, you know, get visions of a reboot of The Natural, maybe, you know, Jonathan Loaiza can throw a shutout in the playoffs or something, but not really. I think what you hope for in September call-ups is someone who's a useful role player, and that may not be your best prospect or the guy who's the best future. So just to tell you, you know, the far extreme of that is Quinton Berry, who has no future playing baseball but may have a small but quite useful role. And the more middling case is that, yes, Justice Sheffield probably has more of a future than some genuine bullpen guy you call up. But I think Domingo Acevedo, for example, who has been so often injured and therefore you think he's not a starter just for durability reasons. But he's back from injury pretty recently, but throwing as usual. He's striking guys out and he's throwing strikes. I think he could be a really useful guy. And it just falls in the category of you look for guys who will fill the role of being better than your last bench player or better than AJ Cole, who's now the new Chasen Shreve, is the guy that all the fans love to hate. So I think you look for, you know, you don't get greedy. You look for guys who could fill a small role. And, you know, guys like Chance Adams or Justice Sheffield or Espinal. Espinal's control has been dicey pretty recently. I think they're not going to trust a rookie for a big pennant race and playoff role if the control isn't quite there. But Acevedo's had the control, so his ceiling may be lower than the other guys because he's just a reliever. He's not durable. He may never pitch a full season in his life, but if he stays healthy the next month, he could be a really useful just strike thrower in the bullpen.
All right, Devin, big picture thoughts. What are you thinking about the September call-ups?
Big picture, I'm sure this is a pretty good time for all baseball teams, you know, trying to make that push before the playoffs, but I think it couldn't have come at a better time, except maybe a week earlier. The Yankees, I think this is a, you know, there's a lot of injuries. You want to rest people up, whether you want to rest people in the bullpen. You know, we all know our top players that are hurt too. So I think that, you know, this is a great time. And I think there are people that will actually make an impact definitely for September and maybe going forward too.
All right. So, okay. I'm going to go a little less boring here. So I think this is an uninspired group of September call-ups, but there's a reason for that, and it's not a bad reason. It is a bad reason, but it's not a reason that has anything to do with the group of September call-ups. The Yankees are injured. Like, all of their best players, or a ton of their best players spread around the diamond, are currently on the 15-day disabled list. So Aroldis Chapman is on the 10-day disabled list. Gary Sanchez is on the 10-day disabled list. Didi Gregorius, Aaron Judge. And the Yankees have called up the players on their 40-man roster to fill that void. And so they're already in the majors. So what's going to happen in September is not that they're going to call up a bunch of guys from AAA. It's that they're going to eventually bring back Didi Gregorius and Gary Sanchez and all these guys. And the guys who have already been called up to replace them, Kyle Higashioka, Ronald Torres, Luke Voit, Shane Robinson, they're just going to stay in the majors. And the team that the Yankees have been playing, the kind of okay half team that they've been kind of putting out there the last couple of weeks, the okay half goes to the bench and then the starters come back. And I think that's kind of the September that we're looking at. The reason why there's a couple of relief pitchers and Tyler Wade who are available is that those are the only guys left on the 40-man roster at AAA who haven't been needed to be called up in the last couple of weeks. So I think it feels uninspired because you don't have another seven players to be called up who are better than the players you've already called up. You have players who are worse than the players who've already been called up. That said, I think that the real interesting player here is Clint Frazier. There have been reports that he's getting better, that he still isn't able to do baseball activities, but he's able to ramp up his workouts and is probably coming back at some point in September. And he would just be a huge addition to this team. I think Clint Frazier is he is better than many of the players currently receiving playing time on the Yankees. He's certainly better than Shane Robinson. I think he's probably better than Brett Gardner at this point. He is a guy who would be a significant upgrade for the Yankees if they can get him back healthy, and that's who I'm excited for. Any closing thoughts on September call-ups?
Yeah, I have one more guy, which is Oliver Perez has been marinating at AAA, and he was the sort of guy you pictured. Maybe he was like AJ Cole. You break glass in case of emergency because, every time you hear his name, he came up at 20 years old, 100 years ago, and you think, oh, he's still around playing baseball and alive. That's cute for him. But you put in the same category first as Rafael Palmeiro being at age 53, playing in the Sugar Land Skeeters or Texas or whatever. But here's the thing. Oliver Perez is actually, I think, a pretty good lefty specialist, potentially. It's easy to think of him as just a failed top prospect who looked like he'd have a great career and didn't. But, last year he had some bad ball luck, but was sort of a serviceable reliever for Washington. Between Cleveland this year and, he was with the actual Indians this year, but then in Scranton for the Yankees, he's done something he hasn't done before, which is that his control actually just got a lot better from the first times ever this year, because he was always a guy who walked 3 to 4 per 9, and that kind of almost worked when he was young and good. It has worked mediocrely to not at all as a reliever, but this year he's walking 1.6 then 1.9 per 9 innings, under 2 per 9, while still striking out 9 or 10, and he's not giving up home runs, he's keeping the ball in the park, so he's now pitched basically a full season as a lefty specialist, and, you sign him and you figure, okay, it's not an injustice for the world if he never gets called up. But given that they suffered through Trayson Shreve because they thought they needed a lefty, and now he's not a lefty, but they have AJ Cole on the roster, right, who nobody thinks is a good idea. At some point, why are you carrying Oliver Perez unless you really want to scram to win games when a lefty comes up? I don't know. But it seems like he's far exceeded expectations. And, as a former major leaguer, he's not going to be, shell-shocked in the majors. I think this, looks a lot like he adjusted to old age by deciding to maybe tone down the stuff and throw strikes a little better, but he's doing everything right, and I don't see why he's not your lefty specialist, especially not that Chapman was your lefty specialist, but with him out, you're down to mostly righty in the bullpen. I think he could have some real value, and like you said, with information, call him up now and see if he, doesn't translate back in the majors, and see if you could use him in the playoffs.
All right, Devin, any closing thoughts on September call-ups?
No, not really. I think you summed it up well that hopefully we don't see that many people because all our stars are getting back healthy.
All right, so I'm going to close on one last thing. I hate the pitcher win statistic. I think it's really stupid. That said, today for the Baltimore Orioles, Josh Rogers pitched 5 innings with 3 earned runs, And the Orioles have scored 12 runs, which means he is in line for the win. Josh Rogers, congratulations on your win, even if it's for a rival team. You guys, thank you very much for joining me. Everybody, thank you for listening. This has been your Bronx Beat Podcast.